Gang, are you looking for better sleep and relaxation or relief from pain or anxiety without feeling totally drugged? Well, let me tell you about True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. True Hemp Science promises premium quality, pure ingredients, and true value. They source the highest grade organic hemp from around the world to handcraft the finest full spectrum CBD products in the Austin area and beyond. They offer a complete line of full-spectrum CBD products, including oils, tinctures, skincare lotions, sports rubs, gummies, and chocolates. Gang, I've been using their products for a while now, and they've lowered my anxiety and given me incredibly restful sleep. How Did I Get Here has teamed up with True Hemp Science to bring you a very special offer that benefits all of us. Spend $100 or more at True Hemp Science, and they will include either the number 81 distillate, which is great for nighttime, or the number 23 distillate, which is great for daytime, with your order. And that is a $25 value. Just go to truehempscience.com/HDIGH. That's truehempscience.com/HDIGH. And balance your body and mind with True Hemp Science Full Spectrum CBD products. Let's get down.
You may ask yourself,
how did I get here? And now here is your host, Johnny Maldi.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week, whatever it is you did this week. I was having a great week until Wednesday, when this dry cold front blew in with all this wind and started shaking all the pollen off the trees and blowing it around right into my face. My eyes are burning, my nose is itching, my throat is scratchy. I'm a little stopped up. You know what I mean? You kind of hear it in my voice. Last night, I woke up in the middle of the night at about 3 in the morning, and I was stopped up, and I'm kind of like sneezy, and so I took some NyQuil, and now I woke up this morning, and I'm just super out of it. Like, that stuff really, 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 really makes me feel drugged long after it's supposed to. It's strange, right? So yeah, I hope you guys had a good week. I'm having a good week. I only have one gig this weekend with Skyrocket. It's a private show on Saturday. It's going to be outside. So I'm starting to take all that allergy medicine, man. You got to take it. I should have been taking it a couple weeks ago, but I totally spaced out that the allergies were coming, and I was just really enjoying my allergy-free time. When you live in Austin, Central Texas here, the allergies are so bad most of the year that you only really get reprieve. Like, over the course of a whole year, you probably get like 6 weeks that you're not dying of allergies. And that's like a couple weeks here, a couple weeks there, like in between the massive allergy things. Like, oh, in between oak and cedar, you have a couple of weeks of just freedom. But then the cedar comes and just knocks you down, makes you sound like this. That's what's going on, I think, is the cedar. Anyway, I hope you guys have had a good week. I've had a good week. I'm going to get right to this. Gang, I have a great show for you today. Samantha Barbera from LA-based Alt Pop Project Beginners is my guest on the show today. They have a brand new EP out now, If the World is Ending. And that song and sort of the vibe of the thing is like, with all of the apocalyptic sort of pressure we're getting from the media and from society, like, oh shit, it's all coming to an end. Like, what are you going to do at the end? Are you going to fucking freak out and engage with the end and see what's happening? Or are you going to blow it off and just party? She has a quote, and I'll read it to you. It's this quote: fuck it. If the ship's going down, we might as well enjoy our time here, unquote. Fantastic quote. It's true. Something that I learned from the great musical Cabaret. That's the vibe in there. I asked her if she's ever seen it. She's never seen it. But Beginners, what an amazing, amazing EP. And what a great, great, great career they're having so far. Over 55 million streams and 300,000 monthly listeners across the digital streaming platforms. They've had songs and commercials by Apple, New Balance, Target, Samsung, Adobe. She's not fucking around. She's also a quarter band of another band that's like more of a garage pop rock band called LAX's. Fantastic group. You can check them out as well. But this EP, If the World is Ending, it's out now. Available wherever it is you stream and download music. You can find them at beginners.band.com. And Samantha and I have a great conversation about her journey in music and what she's trying to do, what her voice is, what her life is like. Great conversation with Los Angeles-based Samantha Barbera from Alt Pop Project Beginners. Enjoy it. Let's get down. That iced coffee?
Yeah, but it's like my janky version, which is just I just pour a full glass of almond milk and then I just like dump instant coffee in with some sugar and then I just like stir it.
You don't even warm it up?
But it like no, because it's like no, so it's like because I want it to be ice, but I don't want to put ice in there, so then it basically all congeals at the top and I have to like drink around it the rest of the time.
Is it gross or is it delicious?
Both.
That's pretty punk rock style of iced coffee. And also being California with the almond milk.
Yeah, it's very DIY.
Yeah. Are you from California originally?
I'm from Indianapolis.
Okay.
Originally. Yeah. I've been here a long time, but yeah, I'm definitely, you know, I like grew up in like a farm town basically.
Okay. Yeah. That's a classic LA story, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the Rock of Ages? Isn't that what that movie's about?
I haven't seen, I don't know.
I saw it in the theater.
But that makes sense.
I saw it in the theater out of like, you know, to go watch it with a friend so you can kind of like make fun of it through the whole movie, you know, go watch it in the afternoon
exactly.
So you don't upset anyone else.
Right. Totally.
And
like,
no, I think I erased it from my mind.
Yeah. I did not go see that, but I bet, you know, I had a tale as old as time itself.
Yes.
You know,
I'm in Austin. Do you ever come to Austin? Is that?
Oh, yeah. You probably get this a lot, but I've been there a bunch, but like all for like South by Southwest.
Uh-huh. Sure.
So I've only experienced Austin when it's like full South by pandemonium. But every time I'm like, this is amazing. I love Austin. Yeah, it's great. But I want to go there when it's not like the festival, you know, just to see what it's like.
Sure. Yeah.
The normal.
See what it's like when there aren't parties with free booze at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just not like, normal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. How long have you been in Austin?
Man, I've been here for like 30 something years. So.
Okay.
A long time.
Where were you before that?
Houston.
Okay. Yeah. So Texas originally. So.
Yeah, Texas. Yeah. I've spent some time in LA though. What part of town are you in LA?
I'm in Silver Lake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a great friend that I wrote with out there. Let me ask you a question. This EP, it comes out next week, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it comes out the 9th.
The 9th. Congratulations, man. This is really,
thank
really
you.
Great. Yeah, you're a great fucking songwriter.
Oh, thank you. Thanks. That's so nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And
appreciate that.
You collaborated with different producers on the songs. Is that how this worked out? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. I produce as well. But I definitely think my sweet spot and like what I prefer to do is like, I love collaborating with other people. Yeah, on this record, I ended up like, I mean, I think every song is a collaboration. I feel like collaborating with other people just like brings out stuff that wouldn't normally happen, right? Because it's like other people are thinking in ways you wouldn't think of. And, or a lot of times it's like you're jamming in a room together and, you know, someone plays a part, or I'll sing, you know, a melody, or I'll play a part that was an accident, right?
Right.
And then one of us is like, no, like, that's the fucking hook.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, that's the take. And it's like those kind of magical little moments that I feel like are so cool about just collaboration. You know, it's like you're getting, you get the like experience and the expertise of like two people.
Right. And it takes you out. Yeah. Like I read that you've been playing since you were like 10 years old. So I'm sure you've been creating music since you're 10 years old. I mean, I'm a songwriter as well. I've done this my whole life as well. And that you fall into your patterns and you come up with shit you'd never come up with when someone's like, oh no, I'd go to A flat there. And you're like, what, dude? Are you crazy?
Totally.
And then you do it and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's so true. Like if your same patterns, your same chords that you like to play, the same sounds that you like, which is like good. And it's a good starting point sometimes, but 100%. Yeah. Like being able to have somebody really push you out of that box. And then you sort of surprise yourself even, you know?
So when you were collaborating on these things, were they also writing lyrics or did you do that on your own? Because it seems like there's a real focus and they feel very confessional.
Right. I feel like, whenever I'm like collaborating, like I usually do, you know, like with the folks that I collaborated with on this record, I'm like thinking through each song. I think we both kind of dip into each other's sort of worlds, you know? So I definitely am like, I definitely like help, you know, help with the production. And I definitely, they help with like lyrics or any, you know, melody ideas. And we all kind of go back and forth in all the ways.
Okay.
But I definitely take I definitely take like the bulk of the role of lyric writing.
Yeah.
And I try to like, and this is probably something that you've discovered over your, you know, as a writer. But like, I also, it is confessional, and I feel like you have to write about like shit that's real and write about like the specifics of people and your situations. Like the whole record is about like specific things that were going on in my life, basically. And because I feel like when you're being like genuine and authentic to yourself in those ways, and you really are being like confessional and you're like saying things that you're kind of saying secrets and everything, you know what I mean? That I think people relate to that, and you can like feel that in the songs in a way where it's like, if you try to keep it too broad and like, you know, sometimes it's like people will be tempted to be like, let's write, you know, no, let's keep it general so like everyone can relate to it.
Right.
And it's like, that's really how it works, right? It's like, when it gets too general, no one relates to it.
Right.
Because you don't feel that, because you're like, I don't know.
Yeah. If the world is ending, that's the name of the EP. There's a quote that I pulled out of here because I liked it. And there's a, you'll see where I'm going. Fuck it. If the ship's going down, we might as well enjoy our time here. Are you a fan of musicals at all?
Not particularly.
Okay. There's one called Cabaret. It's really famous.
Yeah.
But that's basically like Germany on the eve of the takeover by the Nazis. And that's kind of their attitude. These people in this cabaret bar are like,
oh, cool.
Fuck it. If they're going to take us, they're going to take us singing and dancing and partying.
Right.
Yeah. And Bowie went through a phase where that was like a big influence with him. I think that's what nihilism is, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I love that. Yeah. It's like finding a space between like you know, fighting as much as you can to like, for what you want and everything, you know what I mean? What you believe in. But then at a certain point, just being like, not letting it like destroy your spirit though, you know, yeah. Like exactly what you're talking about, you know, and I feel that very much like, you know, with sort of everything that's going on right now, you know, like politically, environmentally, and for me personally, at, you know, going through like breakups and stuff like that. Yeah, it was just very much about like, damn, this is like really, really rough. And it feels like end days, you know, but it's like, exactly like, let's go out with a bang. You know what I mean? Like, if this is the last time we're going to be able to live with freedom, or like, you know, without the world catching on fire, let's party for tonight, you know?
Yeah. What, how have the last couple of years been for you personally? Like you said, you've been going through breakups and stuff like that, but also we had this pandemic and I'm sure you were doing well in LA and that band, the LAXs, is fucking great too, by the way.
Thanks.
What a cool band.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I love it. It's so fun to be able to do like the different projects, you know, like totally different sounds.
Yeah.
And to get to kind of like exercise those different interests and, I mean, the last couple of years, honestly, I feel lucky because, I mean, it's been tough. I think it was tough for everybody, but I know like as an artist, one of the things that I do feel really grateful for is like, we had a bunch of tours canceled, which was like devastating, you know, as was for everybody. But in one way I feel really fortunate because, I don't make my living off of touring. Like when we tour, like we'll come up or like, you know what I mean? But like, we'll make a little bit of money, but it's not like, I'm not like living off of touring money, you know, like I tour to support the project and the records, but like, it wasn't financially a hit for me to not be able to tour. Like for I'm lucky enough that like for, I, you know, make my living from like streams because I'm not with a record label. So like I own the masters. So with streams and, you know, licensing for film and TV and commercials.
So much licensing you've had. I mean, really, I mean, amazing. It's good that I'm glad that you view it as fortunate because it really is luck. It depends on if someone's looking for your song or not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, I felt really lucky. I've been really fortunate in the like licensing space, like you're saying, like in general. And I think it's because a lot of the stuff I have is like pretty high energy, which helps. And I think because I talk about things that like, you know, like I sort of like think about like artists like the Beatles, right? Like with like, I mean, you name it, like from the Beatles to Queen, you know, with like Bicycle and We Will Rock You, and just like, there's these like timeless artists that like sing about other shit besides just love, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's helped me because I sing about like all sorts of random stuff too.
Right.
And it's not just, you know, I definitely have a lot of like romantic songs, like, you know, love, heartbreak and stuff like that kind of songs. But I think having a variety helps. Yeah. But yeah, I because licensing and streams are like my bread and butter, when all that happened, even though it was like a bummer to have all my tours canceled and to have to be doing like shows from my room, you know, or from like our studio space, you know, at least I was still, it slowed down, but it's like, I wasn't, you know, out on my ass, basically.
Right. Yeah.
I could still write. I just like wrote the whole time and painted, and just I ended up producing. I really leaned into a lot of my own productions over those 2 years because like you couldn't be in a room with anybody sort of burnt out on doing everything over Zoom. So I just did a lot more self-productions during that time, which was also good, you know, to be sort of forced to refine my production skills versus just like relying on these like amazing producers that I get to work with all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have people that influenced you? And I want to get back into like how this time affected you personally, but I have this as well, but I always ask people this is, do you hear the voices of the people that had like a real big impact on you as a producer when you're producing? Like when you're going to go look for a compression level, do you hear a certain person you worked with going like, oh, I normally turn it all the way up? You know what I mean?
Right, totally.
Yeah.
That's definitely, you mean like from producers that I've worked with?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that, like the first person that I like started working, like I was collaborating with this artist and writer, producer, Nick Ruth. And that's really how Beginners got started. And we had been in a band together for years prior, like a different band. And, you know, the way that he ran like the vocal chain on my vocals when we were recording really honestly established like the kind of Beginner's vocal sound. And that's definitely evolved now over time, but I mean, that influenced everything. Cause it was like such, it's just like super saturated sounds.
Yeah.
And I do it a little drier now, but you know, at the time it was like lots of verbs and delays, and I just got his whole chain. I was like, can I just like have your whole template?
You know?
So he just like gave me a Pro Tools session with it, and I still use it today. And then I'll like one of the guys that I worked with a lot, one of the people I worked with a lot on this new record, Matias Mora, is like this genius, genius producer kid. And he, like the way he runs my vocals is totally different. And I've been kind of like leaning into that too. Like instead of normally I would do like, you know, kind of like stacks, like a center, hard left, hard right.
Right. Right.
Kind of like, and that's the vocal sound. And he'll just do like one vocal track and just like super, super compressed, super upfront, hella dry.
I really love that.
Sick.
I love that sound on your voice. It's really great. There's another question I have for you on that same tip is that another thing a producer can do, and I'm saying this for the audience and not to you, but another thing a producer could do, and it happened to me working with one particular guy, would go like, hey man, you're just kind of singing it. Like find the character that's singing that song and dive deep into, like bring the attitude of that character into singing. And you have fucking character and attitude for days in these vocals. Did that come naturally to you? Did someone, you know, throughout your career kind of like pull it out of you and be like, hey, you know, how's this person actually feel while they're singing this song?
Right. It's almost like hard to know because before I was a singer, I know exactly what you're talking about. Before I was a singer, like I just played like guitar or bass in bands. And I was like, oh, I'm not a singer. Like, and I like wouldn't sing on stuff. And then this one band that I was in was like, please like sing backing vocals. It'll be so cool. And so I was like, okay. And you know, and even then I was like, you know, like very like sheepish and like super airy, which is like, I have a voice that can be super airy, but it was like definitely more of like a sheepish, soft vibe. And then, and so, you know, there was, that's kind of where I started, but I was always in the room. Like when I think about like the lead singer of that band, you know, I was in the room when he was getting produced to like sing from that place.
Right.
Of like, you know, like really own it. And, you know, so I'm sure I picked up on that, you know, along the way and heard him sort of coached. I definitely, for me, it feels very like natural.
Yeah.
I don't know. To just go and be like,
yeah,
taken over and like super intense and to scream. I also don't sing very quietly. Like I kind of have like one volume and one mode in a lot of ways. And this is like, it's interesting because if I'm like co-writing with somebody, sometimes it's hard. Like if we're just like sitting in the room playing on guitars, which like for LAX's, I have to like really dial in a totally different like style of singing and like performing. Because it's not like, you know, but if I'm in the room, sometimes it's hard for me to just like sing, especially high energy songs, you know, like in a room, like I almost need to just like immediately, I usually try to like immediately go on the mic and just, I'm like, just I hit record right now. You know, the minute the song, we have like a chord progression or whatever.
Right.
And then I'll just like go and like scream my head off, you know, even for like the gibberish beginnings of a song. Cause it's easier for me to be creative and like tap into melodies and like the emotion of it when I can like be on a mic and like scream basically and be really loud.
That's, it sounds like you have all of those qualities when you listen to your music.
Yeah.
So where did all this come from? Like where, so in Indianapolis, you're a kid. What were your parents? Like, do you have, what are your parents? What was going on? What was your home life?
So my parents were both, I come from like a whole family of musicians.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah, this is another thing that's like, I'm sure this seeped into my brain, but like when I was growing up, my parents were divorced, but they were still like friends and they played in a band together. My mom and my dad, they like opened for BB King. My mom, you know, like I grew up as a kid, like she would go to songwriting meetings in Indianapolis, like once a week. And I would go with her cause I was a kid. And just like work on my homework while they would like, everyone would like play their songs and get advice on like, here's how you could improve this song, you know? And so I'm sure some like songwriting, you know-how seeped into my brain during that period of just sitting there as a kid, like working on homework.
Wow. That's cool that that happened.
I know.
What an interesting thing. What kind of music did they play? Was it blues?
It was like, just so I honestly, like, I know what my mom did, but now I can't really remember what anybody else did. You know, I don't like, just like songs, like the songs that my mom was bringing in weren't blues. That was just more like their live band stuff. But
okay.
It was super interesting. Yeah. So I would like sit there. And then she was like shopping her records in like Nashville. So we would also drive from Indiana to Nashville and she would like drop her demos off at like labels in Nashville.
Wow. Was she
and
good?
And was like, yeah, she was like featured in Keyboard Magazine and her songs are great. Like she's an excellent songwriter.
Sorry, one quick thing. She must be so proud of you.
Yeah, I think so. I like to think so. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, she is. So like I grew up with her doing that and like making records. Like my mom has like records out and my dad had played guitar since he was you know, like a young kid, and but he was kind of like pushed to go into business.
Right.
And when he was like, I think like 40, maybe around 40, he just like, he was working in finance, business kind of stuff. And he just dropped out. He like, he had a master's and, you know, he had his MBA and everything. And he was just like, nope. And then just quit business and just did like $100 a night guitar gigs for the rest of his life.
Wow.
It was like wild. So that's like kind of the influence. And he was like super poor, but like he was happy and he was doing what he wanted to do all along.
Is he around?
No, he passed away, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry.
But that's okay. Yeah. One story that I think about with him because of this, you know, like there was one point when I was going to quit. It was like in between bands. It was before, I'm trying to remember, it may have been right before I started Beginners. I can't remember. Or maybe very early in. I mean, it was probably right before. But I remember calling him because like you're probably familiar with this, but like I've always, my whole life, had to get like really random jobs that would let me tour like at a drop of a hat all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so like I worked for like a porn director and I worked for like this weird like investment consultant scam artist guy. Like I did so much, like so many weird things, you know, because I had to have jobs that would let me tour all the time.
Right.
And I was like really feeling down because all my friends were like, all my friends were starting to get, you know, I guess it was probably like in my late 20s, you know, they were all starting to get established and they're getting financial security, you know, and they have good jobs now. And I was just like, I'm a fucking loser. Like I were, you know what I mean? I'm working for like porn directors and going on these fucking tours, sleeping in a van. And I was just like, I had an opportunity, like, I was getting hired, you know, just as like an executive assistant or something for Electronic Arts, this like video game company. Uh-huh. And I like couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have like, it's like a real job, you know?
Right.
And I was like, so worried about, like, I hadn't told them like how much I tour. So I was like, what's going to happen if I get like a big tour? You know, am I going to have to quit? Like, you know, and I basically called my dad and I was like, yeah, like, you know, I've just been thinking, like, I think it's like time for me to throw in the towel. Like I've been doing this a while and, you know, it's just, I think if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. And I just need to get stable and, you know, get my life on track. And so, and I thought my parents would be like over the moon. You know what I mean? Like now I'm not this like weird, unstable kid.
Right.
In LA. Like, you know, I thought they would be like, oh, you know, yeah, that's probably best. You know what right. I mean? Yeah. Don't be a struggling artist anymore.
Right.
And instead my dad had like a polar opposite reaction where he was like, absolutely not. He was like, I know you feel old. But he's like, but you're so close and like, you're already out there and you've made it so far. Like, he was like, you don't want to end up like me. You know, I think probably at the time he was like 55.
Right.
And he's like, you don't want to end up like me. You know, it's like 55. And it's like, I didn't pursue it when I should have.
Right.
And now I'm like 55 and I know I'll never be able to do it how I wanted to do it. It's like, it's too late for me. He's like, but you're not too old, you know? And he's like, and you're almost there. You've done like half the things that are, you're like halfway there. He's like, you can't stop now. You don't want to have regrets like me and then try to, you know, and try to recreate this life again. And, you know, when you're 55. And it really like surprised me. And like, from that moment on, I like just dug my heels in with music. Like instead of quitting, I was just like, okay, like, you know, I don't in a way to like honor him and honor, especially because, you know, he died not long after that. And like, so for me, a lot of it is kind of like honoring him and doing what he wasn't able to do, mm-hmm. you know?
That's yeah. great. That's a beautiful story.
Thanks.
So did you have like bands and stuff in high school?
I was always like, I played in high school. I'd always try to get like my girlfriends to like play me. So like I had all the stuff at my house. Like my dad had like brought like a little drum kit. I had like, you know, basses and guitars. And then I would like try to get my friends to like play. We would try to like, you know, play like No Effects songs and just random punk songs. And, but like nobody really wanted to do it except for me. So I was just kind of like bullying people into it. And then I was like too shy. I don't know about shy, but like a little bit shy, I guess, to like reach out to the people in my school who were actually played music.
Right.
And also we were like the only punk kids in the school. And I was like, I wasn't like trying to just play anything. Like I just wanted to play like, you know, Misfits and Ramones songs. Like,
where did you get,
you know,
that
and
music
no one else was punk.
Where'd you get that music from?
I think I was just like very rebellious from a young age. Like, so like I got like expelled from school in eighth grade for dealing weed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was like dropping acid when I was like 12.
Jesus.
And like,
what,
yeah, I know. I just like on? Wanted
to... Sorry. You wanted what?
Yeah. Oh, I was like, I think I just like, there was something innate in me that just like, had this kind of like rebellious nature to me. I like, everything was great. I was like super happy. Like, you know what I mean? I still had good grades. Like, but I did really identify with like counterculture always. And so I think it was like, I was already like sort of in that zone, like getting super into like pot and like, but at the time it was like very taboo and, you know, and this kind of like, I was hanging out with like, you know, just like the bad kids. And then like my friend's older cousin listened to punk and he's like, oh, like check this out. And we were all like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Right.
And then I like never looked back from there, from like, yeah, like 11 or 12, like punk was like my whole world. Like I definitely like was a full on punk kid. All I did was go to punk shows. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a whole world. And once you get into it,
yeah.
Were you an outcast yourself? I mean, was that part of like what you were doing with acid and weed and
yeah, it's
and
like
punk music?
It's funny because like I was like a self-made outcast. You know? Cause like, I just was like, that's what I'm like. I was not having a bad experience in school, especially because when I got like expelled and stuff for drugs, like, let me tell you, like I was like at that point, like, kind of like an icon at school because everyone was like scared of me because everyone's like, oh, like she's like really cool and tough because she like, you know, and I was just like a kid like experimenting with pot, you know. But like, you know, at that point it really helped my reputation because like I came off as like so much cooler than I was, you know. So it was like I didn't really feel like an outcast. But when I discovered punk, I was like, I've just like never identified with an energy more in my life, you know? So I was like, oh yeah, this is the piece that this is who I am, you know? And then because of that, I was sort of an outcast, but just because I didn't want anything to do with everyone at my school because no one was like a punk kid. Right. So like, I only hung out with like kids from other schools around Indianapolis that were like involved in the punk scene and just got super involved in politics and all these things, you know? So I didn't really line up with people at like at my high school. Like I had nothing in common with them.
You got involved with the ethos of punk, not just the style or anything.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
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 So what did your were you freaking your parents out at this point?
They were like, they are pretty unfazed. Like they, I think cause they're like cool and they're like musicians.
Right.
They were like, not really worried about them. They let me wear whatever I wanted. Like I would get like kicked out of class, you know, like I remember I had this like, you could get this Dead Kennedys 7-inch Nazi Punks Fuck Off. And if you got the 7-inch, it comes with a patch, you know, that says Nazi Punks Fuck Off. And it has like a swastika with like the X through it, you know?
Yeah.
And I wore that like on my pants, like every day. And I would like constantly get like kicked out of class. So like, you can't have like fuck on your clothes in school. You know, and I remember I wore like my Misfits shirt and I got sent to the principal's office because they were like, oh, it's satanic.
Right.
And I was like, this is insane. Yeah. So funny.
It's like whatever town that guy from Footloose lived in or moved to.
Yes. Like straight up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like a small rural farm town. I mean, so real small school. Super homogenous. So, yeah.
I bet it's a Trumpy world over there.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been so long since I've been there. My family doesn't live in that town anymore. So, I know. I can't even imagine having to be in a city like that during these times. Ugh.
How do you, like, during these times, it's tough. I was watching your video and I've seen your merch and you're gay, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when did you figure that out? Like coming up, and was that a fucked up scene in your, like in a small town?
I mean, it's kind of interesting because I didn't really, it was like something for me that I sort of like tapped into later in life. So I didn't like grow up in a way where I felt like I wasn't living my truth or anything like that. And so it was like, to be honest, because by the time I came out, I was already like an adult and I already like was confident and not like worried about what anybody thinks. Yeah.
Right.
Like, so luckily it was not a traumatic event for me. Like it was,
that's
an exciting one. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It was interesting because I was already like, doing, you know, music and I was already kind of like, and somewhat public facing when I sort of started to kind of like publicly be like, hey, I'm queer, you know, or to say queer things. I never had some big like coming out declaration, but I did just start, you know, talking whatever, just about my life, whatever's happening. And I was curious if that would like affect things, you know, like with beginners, I was like, is that gonna like alienate, you know what I mean? Like, is that gonna be weird? Like for my fan base, you know?
Well, I mean, your publicist is gonna have a really hard time getting you on the Fox Morning News show, but.
Right, yeah, which is so unfortunate, which is all I wanted.
It doesn't sound like by your music it's going to alienate anyone who would listen to it.
No, and honestly, anybody who'd be alienated by that, I'd rather them not listen to it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, please don't be a fan.
Yeah.
So it was pretty chill.
Does this modern sort of odd sort of witch hunt, I was watching... the what's that guy's name? Ron DeSantis, the Florida guy, debate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what That guy's like trying to start a witch hunt. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Against any gay or non-binary people.
Yeah. It's so crazy. And people love him. Like, I have so much family that lives in Florida.
Me too.
Love him.
They love him. I think, you know what I think they love? And I think I'm starting to realize this. I think they love a big, I think people are really attracted to big talkers. Like, like, you know, assholes. That guys that would tell you how much money they make in like the first 10 minutes you know them. Like that, right. To me, that's like the Donald Trump thing. And like, it's just like, I feel like people really idolize and want to idolize assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird.
It is. It's definitely true. It's like this super cocky.
Yeah. That
kind of way of presenting yourself. And it doesn't have to be substantiated at all. Like, you could literally just like, I mean, it's happened. I'm like, you can literally say a bunch of lies and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, yeah, that's how we are where we're at, I guess. But yeah, it's like, they're drawn to that like cockiness and that it's almost like the school bully. I mean, it's like no different than like school bully who's like the popular kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because I felt like nerd culture came up so much that I kind of almost felt like artists and weirdos would be living in a safe world. But there's been like an uprising of the bullies. Like, they're coming after us again.
I know.
It's like junior high all over again.
Truly, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I think it also like was a big lesson in complacency for us, you know, like for any group that's marginalized or that just like cares about, you know, social justice and civil rights and stuff like that. Like, you know, I think because it felt like the momentum was so forward moving, and it was for years, you know, getting more and more progressive, and, you know, it felt like it was only going to get better and better and better when it came to like civil rights and protections and things. And, you know, I do think a lot of people were complacent and not as like politically and socially active because you just felt like it was a given that things were going to keep moving to be more and more like progressive. And and watching it go like backwards right now and go like, oh no, like everybody's getting their rights stripped away.
Yeah.
You know, is a real wake up call.
It is. It is. It really is. I assume, did you vote early?
I have my thing. I'm about to vote. I'm doing it with my friends. We're going to go through all the things.
Nice.
But yeah.
The early voting is so easy. I wish all people did it.
I know. Nobody does it.
No. I walked in and I voted. And when I was walking out, I passed a guy that was coming in to vote. There was nobody else there voting. It was that easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And the midterms are looking grim. I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's part of me wants to move to Costa Rica. And then part of me also is like, it's part of what this thing is, this weird sort of living, breathing democracy. It's going to always go one way and then go another way and then go one. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, it seems like the pendulum swung too far one way this time. It's hard to get it back. Hey,
I
was looking at your website, beginners.band, and I was wondering, you don't have any tour dates up. Are you going to tour behind the CP or?
Yeah, I'm about to start setting up some stuff for like basically top of the next year.
Okay.
So I'll be doing shows. I think we're going to do like an album release event kind of thing, and then like kind of kick off some dates following that. Yeah.
Great.
Which is the best. I always feel like that's like, to me, like the live show is like the best iteration of Beginners.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to do that like the most because I'm like, it's so fun. It's like the most fun show to be at.
How do you do this? How do you do this live?
I have like I have a band that I always play with. Like, we're like the bands, you know, for beginners. And it's like me, my guitar player Posey, I have like a keyboard player, Honor Nezzo, and a drummer, Jason Walker. And we do, we just like play everything live and like kind of switch around instruments. I play bass. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll play bass or I'll play guitar, or on some, I don't play anything so that I can just like get in the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, and sing and hype everybody up.
Yeah.
We play, drums. We have these like big, like acrylic, floor toms that we have like three set across the front of the stage that are like programmed, with lights like built into them. So like throughout the set, we're like constantly, and it's like all three of us women up there just like, you know, cracking on these, floor toms with like a really cool light show that like, you know, goes along with what we're playing. And yeah, it's super fun. It's like very, very, not surprisingly, very like high energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's my favorite.
Well, I will come see you guys if you come to Austin.
Yes, I would love to come to Austin.
Yeah, well, they need to have you. I'll tell them. I'm going to go to the Austin people now, and I'll be like, hey, you got to have beginners here.
Let them know.
I will let them know. Sam, it's been really great talking to you. You are such a fucking great artist. Like, I'm just, it's funny because I was telling my friend Jason this before we talked. He's the guy that works on my guitars and stuff. And he was asking, yeah. I was telling him I have a podcast coming up. He was asking who I had. And I was just reading your stuff like an hour before. I didn't know any of the stuff. Like, I just, I either take or reject stuff on how I react to the music, you know?
Yeah.
And then to see all of these great things that are happening for you, I was like, oh, I didn't even realize all of this shit. But your music really spoke to me. And you as an artist really spoke to me. So I really love it.
Hey.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. That's so nice. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome, man. This will be up in the next like week and a half or so. So the record will already be out. People get out there and check out If the World is Ending EP. Great song, great album, or EP, whatever the fuck it is. I don't even know. Are you really, you're releasing it on vinyl, right? Are you?
I want, that's what I want to do for like the record release. It's kind of hard with vinyl because stuff's like backed up and it's so expensive, but I'm working on that.
Dude, it's so backed up that I worked on a record at this time last year that we finished before Thanksgiving and turned it in. And I just went and picked up the reference disc to listen to 2 days ago.
Oh,
yeah.
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 That's my concern. Yeah.
It's a solid year at this point.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
It's like, pretty insane.
Who can do that? You know what I mean? It's because then you're sitting on a record for a year, which you've probably already been sitting on. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the thing is like, we had this meeting last week and I was like, well, what a drag. Everything about the record is already gone. Like, I don't really know if anyone's going to be excited to buy this now. Like, oh, that record we heard on Bandcamp last year. No, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Sam, it's been great talking to you. You're a great, great, great artist. And hopefully I'll see you when you come to town and we can meet in person.
Yes.
Everyone get out there and check out Beginners. Also, check out LAX's. That's a great, it really is such a great band.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, no problem. Thanks for doing the show.
Yeah, of course.
Have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Bye, Sam.
Bye.
Beginners, check out their EP, If the World is Ending, available now wherever it is you stream and download music. You can find them at beginners.band, wherever it is you find music. I want to thank Samantha for taking the time to talk to me. I really had a great time talking to her. Very, very cool person. I can't wait to hear what else she does with music, right? Find them at beginners.band. Don't forget, when you're out there checking out beginners.band, gang, you can find us wherever it is you stream and download podcasts. Duh. Podcast. That's right, man. Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, anywhere you do it. You get new shows every Tuesday, every Friday. On the weekends, I've been dropping From the Vault episodes, so check it out. Saturday night around midnight, I drop a From the Vault episode. If you're following us, you'll get a new, you'll get an update. So follow us on whatever platform. Stars, let us know how we're doing. Five stars, or whatever stars you think we deserve. I think we should get five. All right, I'm out of it on NyQuil, and I'm tired and crazy-headed from allergies. I hope you guys have a great weekend, whatever it is you do. All right, enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of this song, I Hate That I Love Brooklyn, by the band Beginners. Let's get down. I love Brooklyn. Acting like you love me just as good as Meryl Streep. You deserve-